Nick, I have good news and bad news. The good news is Josh Saviano has agreed to come in studio at some point. The bad news is Josh Saviano has agreed to come in the studio at some point. I don't know if there's enough room for you in here, pal.
It's been nice knowing you, Nick.
Can I at least get like an Uber ride from one of you guys out of here?
I don't know. Will SNY foot the bill for that, Adam?
No.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, welcome to the show. Don LaGreca is going to join us in just a few minutes. I'm joined here in the studio, as always, by my friends Nick Licozzi and Adam Rotter. Adam, little regression to the mean going on here? What do you think?
All expected.
Yeah?
You know, Michael Grabner wasn't going to score 15 goals a game. They weren't going to get 15 breakaways a game. This is all... It's all expected. It's frustrating, but it's expected.
Nick, how much do the injuries play into this?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. How much of it is, do you panic and say that the defense is terrible, and how much is it is the injuries to two top nine forwards, really, when push comes to shove? And it's going to be interesting to see how Gorton reacts here if the Rangers make lineup changes. I mean, losing Zibanejad and Buchnevich is tough up front because you lost the four lines, four – you don't want to say dominating lines, but four lines that could score goals. You're down to three now. And the other injury that he's back, but it really took its toll on, I think, is Chris Kreider.
Yeah, but I think as far as the power play goes, 1 for 15 in the past six games, that's where the Rangers really miss Mika Zibanejad.
They definitely miss him there. And even if, you know, he's missing the net with his one-timer,
right,
which he's doing, he's still a threat. And that opens up everyone else. That makes Brandon Peary, you know, another option instead of everyone starting to key on him because they know he's the only guy who's going to shoot.
And that's exactly it. I think we've seen Stepan try and play the Zibanejad point, if you will, now. That spot being the only right-handed forward on this team for a few years, or at least the only right-handed offensive threat. And he's just not a threat to shoot. No one, they'll let Stepan shoot, and it affects the whole power play because they know he's not going to.
Curious to see if other coaches take Guy Boucher's blueprint for how the Senators played the Rangers on Sunday night and just go use it going forward, because they were just dominant.
I think when the Rangers face certain teams that have trouble scoring, Ottawa's one of them, Carolina's another, and Carolina has done this
twice this
that's
week,
what
yeah.
you're gonna get. I think that when you're playing teams who are gonna score, when you're playing teams like Pittsburgh, it might be a little more open. They might be able to do more stuff, which sounds weird to say, like against one of the better teams,
right,
they might be able to play better. But against teams that can't score, similar to how the Rangers couldn't under John Tortorella, this is how teams win. They play defense, they back in, they block shots, and you know, the Rangers need to figure out a way to get around all of that.
Alain Vigneault needs to make that adjustment. I think that's been one of the things that we've seen is teams adjust to Vigneault, and he's a little bit slower with his adjustment back. He has great game plans to start games and to open seasons, but I think one of the things he struggled with in New York is his secondary adjustment, whether it be a long playoff series or whether it be when teams adjust after the quarter point of the season in the late November, early December, and the Rangers... Are they going to blame injuries? Is the defense not good enough now? Or can Vigneault adjust and the team find another way to win games?
I think if you take away the Rangers' speed, they're in a whole lot of trouble because that's their bread and butter. It's not a whole bunch of natural goal scorers. The Rangers score goals because of their speed. And as Guy Boucher showed the other night, if you take that away from them, there's not a whole lot that they can do out there offensively.
If you take the Rangers' speed away, they are the definition of an average
team.
Yeah,
yes.
They are a team that, you know, they'll be able to score a couple of goals. They're talented enough to do that. But if you take away the Rangers' rush opportunities on a consistent basis, they're not the same team by any stretch.
They don't have any pluses, if you will, other than Lundqvist and net. But the defense can't beat it. And that's one of the hardest part is the Rangers' transitional game is not good enough to
right.
beat these teams clogging the neutral zones, the trap, if you will, and they're not big enough to play a full dump and chase game. And I think that's where Vigneault's got to find a way to do it. When the Rangers don't have four lines going and four lines who are able to get in and control the puck, control the forecheck, the Rangers struggle to get out of their own zone, and that leads to some of this. As far as shot differential, they are last in the NHL for the month of November.
Yeah,
that has to change.
And I think some of that can be attributed to Kevin Klein, Adam, because this is a different Kevin Klein from last season. Last year, he was probably their most consistent defenseman from day one. This year, not so much.
Yeah, I think that
Unless you want to say consistently bad. He has not been good.
And I think that part of that is that he's playing a bigger role than he's really destined to be. Like, I think Kevin Klein is a guy who can be a top-pairing defenseman for a few games as an injury replacement. But he's, you know, he's a second, third pair guy on a really good team. And right now, I think he's playing above his head too much.
You're right, but Klein hasn't really this year. He hasn't been forced into too many positions over his head. Girardi's been on the first pair. That's what's been the most disappointing thing, I think, about Klein is he can't do it with Brady Shea, who's been good. They're not getting the top pairing minutes. They're getting the second or third pairing minutes, and Klein still hasn't been good enough.
It's kind of the Achilles heel. Ryan McDonough is the only true first pair defenseman that they have, and then the rest of them are all second and thirds. It's worked out because they've scored so many goals, and the goaltending's been good, but that's always been the knock on the Rangers from the beginning of the season, is that it's McDonough and then a whole bunch of second and third pairing defensemen.
Yeah, and Shea's been their second best defenseman, and he's been really good for the most part, especially offensively and moving the puck. But yeah, we knew defense would be a problem. I still think that their defense is okay enough.
Yeah,
I think that they're still good enough to make the playoffs, but I also don't see them making a big change because I don't think that there's a big change out there to be made on defense.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show because Dougie Hamilton's name has been floated about. But let's get back to the offense for a minute. Looks like Zibanejad's not coming back anytime soon, Adam, and that could really hurt the Rangers, particularly on the power play.
Yeah, I mean,
still in a walking boot.
Yeah, I mean, he was out 6 to 8 weeks. This isn't like, you know, they thought he was ever day to day. Like, they knew going in he's going to be out a while. You know, they brought in Matt Pumple. I think he's a guy who's got offensive potential, but he's not exactly the guy you're going to rely on. You need your big guys. You need Zuccarello. You need Stepan. And, you know, it's hard to say you need Hayes and Miller because they've already overachieved for this season. So, like, it'd be nice if they played at that crazy rate. But, you know, they're doing what they're doing. But you need the guys like Stepan, Zuccarello, and Nash, who are really supposed to be the ones carrying the offense.
It just seems like the chemistry is off a bit up front, and some of it has to do with Vigneault juggling the lines a lot. Some of it has to do with the injuries. But realistically, when you look at it, the Rangers are no longer a four-line offensive team. They're a three-line offensive team with the fourth line that's going to be led by Jesper Foss and Josh Joris, and that has to be more of a checking line, more of an energy line, even if it's Pumple on that line. But Vigneault has to establish a top nine that works. And whether it's putting Grabner back with Hayes and Miller as your third line and hoping that gets going, he's got to trust Peary in an offensive role. He had him up there for a game, I think, with Zuccarello and Nash, and they didn't look terrible. But look, Nash and Stepan have been so good for so long. I think that's a line that needs to be a number one line. And whether it's VC with them or Kreider with them, Vigneault has to find some consistency with his lines and a top nine that works for this team.
Well, Peary's an offensive guy. That's why he was brought in. He's not a Dominic Moore type of player. He's paid to score goals, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because now the Rangers kind of have the four lines that they wanted to have at the start of the year. They wanted three scoring lines and a fourth line that could check. And, you know, you put Pumple in there and he can do some things. But, like, yeah, without that speed. But, again, I think it all comes down to the speed.
Yeah.
I think that all of their guys can play together. They're just not doing enough. They're not getting the opportunities to play in the offensive zone. They're not getting the opportunities to go from defense to offense and transition. So I think that it's a combination of that, and then Vigneault's trying to find line combinations that can do that. I think that there's a lot of different factors, I think, into why all of a sudden the Rangers can't score goals.
They're in a bit of limbo as a team right now with the injuries, with the teams adjusting. And to me, who that makes the most important person on the Rangers is Henrik Lundqvist. But as far as this season goes, he hasn't had to be Henrik Lundqvist. The next few weeks, while the Rangers figure out who their top nine are, defense can hang, some of it's going to fall back on Henrik. He's going to need to steal a few games. Look, the Rangers winning games is not sustainable when they're last in shot attempts in the NHL. It's not like they're last in the division. It's not like it's been a week. In the month of November, they're last in shot attempts. That has to change.
Sure.
And it might be a slow progression. I don't think the Rangers are the worst team in the NHL. I don't think they're the best team in the NHL.
Right.
But until the ship gets righted, I think we're going to need to see Henrik Lundqvist revert back to the Henrik Lundqvist that we know. Again, not that he's been bad, not that he's been great, but he hasn't really been tested much this season, and I think now is his time to shine, and he's got to carry this team a little bit.
Winning games is sustainable because they have Henrik Lundqvist.
Yes.
Scoring 5 goals every night is not realistic. It's just not. No matter who you are, whether you're the Penguins or the Rangers, whoever you are, that's not sustainable. So they're just like it. Like Alain Mignot said on Monday, we're just facing a little bit of adversity, and let's see how the Rangers come out of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Nick was saying with the shot attempts, like their shooting percentage, though, was still the same. It was still really high. And now they're not getting those bounces that they got before.
No reason to be overly concerned about what's going on, though, right?
Yes and no. Again, you could look at it and you could say their last in shot attempts, their defense is, maybe the defense is this bad and a change needs to be made. Like you said, they only have one first pairing defenseman, and you could even look at it and say their second pairing is middling. Is it Staal?
So do you think we're seeing what I talked about before the season started, that this defense is kind of old and slow and I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up, or is this just a chink in the armor right now?
I think it's just a blip. I think that ultimately they're not one of the, I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they're one of the three best teams in the Metro, and I think that that's where this is going to land.
Let's get Don's take. He joins us now on Rangers Blue Line. Don, Brian, and Nick, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. What do you think's going on right now? You think this is a little bit of regression to the mean or what?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you couldn't, this wasn't 1986.
Right.
I mean, they weren't going to go out there and score that many goals to start the season. And I always felt like when you rely on younger players, you know, Buchnevich got off to the great start, and I think him being out of the lineups really hurt. And, you know, VC's kind of calmed down just a little bit. So you kind of knew that everything was kind of just kind of catch back up to them. And, you know, and I think when you lose a Zibanejad, that's a lot of speed that walks out. I mean, that's the one thing I noticed about this team compared to other years is they're just flat out quick. And the versatility of Zibanejad being out of the lineup, I think the quickness of Buchnevich out, a slowing down of VC just a little bit, I think has kind of caught up with the team.
Don, what are you most worried about watching the Rangers the last few weeks? Is it the defense? Is it just teams adjusting in the neutral zone? Or is it the injuries?
I think it's mostly just the injuries. And, you know, I'm not going to get Zibanejad back anytime soon, so I guess you can't. You can't worry too much. Somebody's going to have to step it up. Some other guys are going to have to find a way to contribute. You know, but I heard you talking a little bit before I came on just about the defense. And, you know, that was really their Achilles heel last year. You know, they got off to the great start, but they didn't possess the puck much. They didn't defend well. Hank stood on his head. And then I remember I went out with a team in the Western Canada, and that's when McDonough and Girardi really got exposed, I thought, and ended up having really bad seasons. Now, McDonough's been terrific.
Yeah,
I just wonder over a long term in a league where there's so much quickness, whether Dan Girardi might get a bit exposed on that top pairing. And AV had mentioned that he was going to try to work Clendenning in second game out of back-to-backs, 3 games in 4 nights. He really hadn't done that. And Clendenning, if you remember when Klein was out, was playing on the power play. He was, you know, picking up big minutes. I'm just wondering when AV will start to maybe give Girardi a little bit of a rest here, because I just don't know over the long haul whether, you know, it's sustainable in that top pairing with McDonough.
Yeah, Don, and I said this before you came on, Kevin Klein last season was probably their most consistent defenseman over the course of 82 games, and this year he really hasn't been good, and I think that's hurt the Rangers as well.
Yeah, and I think getting off to the slow start, being hurt, affected him. And he's a guy that also scores goals in bunches, right?
Right.
They kind of joke around in the room where they call him Bobby Klein, because he would have, you know, he'd have a 4 or 5 game stretch where he'd score a couple of goals. And, you know, he hasn't scored yet. But I do think over time he'll start to get a little better. I like what Shea's doing. I think he's growing and maturing into a really good contributor, not just defending, but also playing on the power play and scoring points. So I think right now there might be in that little bit of a transition where everybody's just trying to get caught back up. So and Hank hasn't played particularly well either. I mean, let's not forget that. I mean, I think he's been solid, but, you know, he certainly would love, you know, the Columbus game. I thought all 3 goals were kind of weak on his side. So I think they'll be fine, but I don't think they're Pittsburgh, Washington. Are they at that level? I think as the time wears on, I think they're probably going to settle somewhere into, you know, third place in the Metro.
Don, do you think this is the time of year where we could see Henrik Lundqvist turning on, and maybe while the Rangers, their ship's taking on a little bit of water with the injuries and the inconsistencies, do you think he could be the guy that puts him on his back for the 2-3 week span here and gets them through the rough time again?
I think he still has it in him. I mean, but you're asking for a long stretch, and a guy that's going to turn 35 in March, you got to be careful about just him playing that much. You could really see with the fact that he played in the World Cup, got sick at the World Cup, but did play, and because of the condensed schedule here early, that AV's really protected him and has given Raanta a lot of starts, and Raanta, has been really good, so he's deserved to get those starts. So the question is, carrying the team over the 2-3 week period, A, can he, and B, will he be given that many opportunities to play over that kind of a stretch? But you kind of saw it in Philly, right? I mean, this was a team that was reeling a little bit, go to Philly, give up a ton of shots. What was it, 42 shots? He made 40 saves. So he does have that in him to just, steal a game and play sick for a little while. You just wonder if, when you say 2-3 weeks, A, will he get the opportunities, and can he – can he sustain that at his age? And that seems like it might be a little bit too much to ask.
Don, the Senators did a really terrific job of neutralizing the Rangers' speed on Sunday night. Do you think other coaches take Guy Boucher's blueprint and use that moving forward? What do you think?
Well, it's a copycat league, right?
Yeah.
But Ottawa's a pretty good team.
Oh, yeah.
And they've won four in a row, and they've got the speed of an Erik Karlsson on the blue line. I'm not too sure if there's too many teams that can – they can get somebody that can take up that much space, just flying all over the. I mean, he is just so fun to watch.
He's phenomenal.
And Guy Boucher has really taught him, to block more shots, be a better defender. I mean, this is a guy that was a minus 15 for his career, and going into the Ranger game, he was a plus 6. So, to take that kind of speed and make him into the defender that Boucher has done, I'm not sure every team can do that. But yeah, it's a copycat league. People are going to go to town. How do you kind of clog up the neutral zone, slow the team down, slow that speed down? And you've seen around the league, there's been a little bit of a spurt recently in goals, but it's not quite as heavy as it was early in the season, because I think now coaches are adjusting to the speed of some of these younger guys, and now you're going to start to see where the coach – because let's face it, when coaches get involved, they really know how to bore a hockey fan.
Yeah.
Coaches bore hockey fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because the great fun game is when the coaches are pulling their hair out. So the coaches will figure out a way to slow this sucker down, and I think not just the Rangers, but a lot of these other teams too are going to have to readjust to what these coaches are doing around the league.
And when you talk about the readjustments, I think some of it for the Rangers is going to be their forwards and scoring in different ways now. Who are you looking to see score more goals for the Rangers, if you will? Do you think a guy like Kreider, who got off to such a hot start and looked like he really took that next step and then got slowed down by an injury, is he a guy that can lead this Rangers forward group through that adjustment?
Well, I mentioned this at the beginning of the season, that of all the players on the Rangers, the biggest upside, the guy that had the ability to make the biggest jump, was Kreider.
Yep.
You know what everybody else is going to give you, and to the young kids, you don't know, obviously, but VC's been like I said a big surprise. But of the known commodities, what Rick Nash is, what Stepan is, Miller and Hayes I think can grow, but Kreider's the one where I say that he has the potential to become a star. He can jump and become a big player. He just has to find the consistency.
Yeah.
And he had it early, and then he got hurt, and then he got hurt again, and we haven't seen it over a long period of time. But that's the guy. You're so right. When he's got the speed, starts driving to the net, there's just some moments where you're like, this is one of the best players on the ice. And then there's times I call games and I'll look at Dave Maloney, my partner, is like, have I mentioned Kreider's name, in the last couple of periods? That can't happen. So that's the guy I really look at and say, man, if this team is going to really make that big jump and be a really a Stanley Cup contender, it's got to be Kreider scoring 30-plus goals. This night-in, night-out stuff is just not going to work for him, and it's not going to work for the team.
Don, how do you think AV has handled Jimmy Vesey? Obviously, he sat him for a few third periods. He's trying to get him to, make the adjustments that we've seen with JT Miller and Kevin Hayes. You think everything's on the right track as far as Vesey's progress is concerned?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, he jumped out and was just all over the ice, and I think AV, when he made those mistakes, as you said, him, Zibanejad, there's been a couple of guys that have landed in AV's doghouse where they've been nailed to the bench. Miller had those couple of giveaways against Columbus. So, AV knows that he's going to have a kid that's going to have learning as he goes. You don't want to have to rely, even though he's an older rookie, you don't want to have to rely on rookies to be your best players. And And I think AV's been a really good teacher in those situations. I mean, look at some of the players that the Rangers have called up that have been able to contribute. I mean, Hayes, Miller, Shea, Kreider to a certain extent, although that was before AV when he got called up. So the Rangers, even Oscar Lindbergh to a certain extent, you know, these guys come up from Hartford, they're well coached, and AV's done a good job of pushing the right buttons, and I like the way he's handled them, and I think that that will create a better player in April than maybe we do get with a lot of other rookies when they start playing more games than they've ever played before in their career, and then they start sucking wind, and I don't think AV wants to see that happen to this team, or especially to him.
Yeah. Don, before we let you go, Dougie Hamilton's name been floated about. Do you see any possible way that he lands in New York? You think the Rangers have the chips?
I don't know. Do you want him?
No, exactly. I know.
I mean, I don't know. You know, again, I'd have to look at the CBA, but, you know, that isn't just an obnoxious contract for a guy that just has not played well in Calgary. I mean, we went up there and did those games. He's like, I can't believe they're paying this guy this kind of money.
Yeah.
And they're just not getting the production. That just, I don't even know if you, and I understand maybe if he lands in the right place. You know, we saw flashes of him be a really good player, but I don't know at this particular stage whether that just doesn't seem like it'll work, right? How many times do you see these guys come with these contracts? They don't live up to expectations. I think I'd stay away.
Yeah, and it would be his third team in 5 years. I mean, there's a reason why the Bruins didn't want to pay him all that money, right?
Yeah, well, that tells you something,
exactly.
Right? I mean, and everybody's looking for the fit, and maybe they will. Maybe there'll be a team that'll take a chance, and he'll finally, you know, find his groove. But I just think in a cap sport, you cannot afford to have it be a mistake for your team.
I'm with you, buddy. Don, thanks so much. Great stuff. We really
all
appreciate
right.
it.
Oh, my pleasure, guys.
Don LaGreca does a great job as the Rangers radio voice, and obviously you can also hear him during the day with Michael Kay on 98.7 ESPN here in New York. I'm with Don. I would stay away from Dougie Hamilton. What do you guys think?
I would stay away from him just because I don't think the Rangers would make the trade for him. Like, I don't think that they would trade the pieces that Calgary would want, so I don't even see it as an option, really.
The Rangers have to identify what right-handed defenseman that's potentially available in the league
it's
that they want
Hamilton
and get.
It's either Hamilton or Shattenkirk, right?
It's going to be Shattenkirk.
I think that I agree. I think it is Shattenkirk. I think I agree with both of you, but you could throw Trouba's name in there, too. If there's one guy that the Rangers feel is a difference maker out of those three, or if there's another right-handed guy available, I think it's obvious that the guy has to be right-handed when the Rangers make their big move. But again, they only have one bullet in the chamber. It's not like there's much cap space opening up.
Right.
You got Nash's money in 2 years, but that's going to go to paying your own players. Maybe you could fit one more contract in here if you work some things around. And it is most likely a defenseman, and it's most likely right-handed. So you got to find out who it is.
And you've only got one crack to get this right.
Right.
I mean, you can only trade Miller, Hayes, or Buchnevich once. You don't get a mulligan, so you better get it right the first time.
To me, it's all an off-season thing. I think in the off-season, the Rangers will probably move on from one of Kreider, Hayes, or Miller, just because eventually you can't pay all the guys, and you don't have spots for all of them, especially if you think Vesey, who's cheap, and Buchnevich is cheap, our top nine forwards. Eventually, someone's going to have to move. One guy who I think could move before his no trade clause kicks in could be Derek Stepan.
Interesting.
Now, I don't want to get way far ahead in this because there's 59 games left.
Yeah.
But if Kevin Hayes shows enough that he's good and you got to pay Zibanejad upwards of $5-6 million, Stepan could be the guy who gets moved to then bring in Kevin Shattenkirk. But then you also still have Dan Girardi and Mark Stahl, and your defense is still very cap-heavy. So we've got 50 podcasts to talk about all of this, but I don't see them making a big enough move on defense in season.
Sounds like Jack Capuano's not getting fired. So does Gart Snow try to make a trade to improve his hockey team? What do you think, Nick?
I don't know what Gart Snow is doing. He might have had Gerard Gallant's cab fare to New York if he was smart,
wow.
You know, with Jack Capuano on the hot seat. The Islanders need – what don't the Islanders need right now?
I don't know. They need a lot. Right, Adam? They need a whole lot, don't they?
Yeah, and I don't – where are they – who's the guy they're going to get to finally play with Tavares? That's the thing.
Yeah, Vander Kane's name's been floating around, but I'm not going there either.
Was it a mistake to let Oposo walk?
Probably, but I think it was an even bigger mistake to wait P.A. Parenteau when you had no replacement.
I think that was another mistake. There's a list of mistakes in there for the Islanders. The last year and a half, 2 years.
At least they won a game on Monday. You can check out the Islanders Point by Podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We spoke with Newsday's Arthur Staple this week. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point by Podcast along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. JT Miller banged up a little bit, might play Tuesday night, might not, but nothing to be too overly concerned about, right?
He returned to the game. I think it was one of those things that in the moment you can play through it, but as soon as the game ends and the adrenaline wears off, all of a sudden you've got a lot of stitches in your knee and you're like, wow, this kind of hurts. Maybe I can't play the next game, but he's 50-50 for tonight.
Just a little bit more of that adversity we were talking about earlier, right?
Nick? It really is. I mean, the forward depth, we talked about it. We were all excited. We talked that they were 12, 13, 14 forwards deep. And if Miller's out there onto forward number 15 for the season, and it's Matt Pumpel, who's looked good in two games, but it's getting harder and harder for the Rangers to sustain the level of play that they had with these injuries. They got to find a way to mix and match, you know, Ken Grabner, get it going. I think he's still been very effective defensively. He's not a guy that you want to rely on. It's time for Zuccarello, I think, to kick it up another level. He's been sitting on 14, 15 points now for quite some time. I think now we're starting to see him miss Brassard a little bit, and that guy who kind of opened up the ice and was on the same wavelength. But he's a guy that needs to carry the Rangers through some tough times, too.
Let's go around the league for a second before we go. Nick brought up Gerard Gallant. Adam, I am baffled. I cannot believe they let him go.
I can't believe they didn't arrange a car for him. Like, he's a good coach. I think that he'd be a fit with the Islanders, who he has a history with.
Yeah.
And I think that might be the number one thing about him as a candidate. Garth picks guys he knows. But, yeah, I don't know what Florida's doing.
How about that? The Islanders hired Gerard Gallant, the one coach that lost the Islanders in a playoff series in the last 23 years. Wouldn't that be unbelievable?
It would be some irony right there, if you will, for Jack Capuano to lose his guy, the guy he beat in the playoffs.
I honestly don't think that's going to happen. But just I just don't understand it, simply because Bukestad was out. Huberdeau hasn't played a game. And like you said, they had won the Atlantic last year.
It seemed like there was some sort of division of, you know,
philosophical.
He wanted size and speed, and he was probably like, size, size, size. And then they were finally like, fine, we'll get you Dylan McIlrath. Are you happy now with the size?
It's a little Willie Randolph-esque, you know. It kind of seems like at midnight on the West Coast, just out of nowhere.
We might see Jack Eichel later this week. Looks like he's ready to go.
I would prefer if he didn't.
All these young kids, he's another one that's excited to watch. But, Brian, still the talk on all these young players, and Sidney Crosby's leading the NHL.
He's still the best player in the NHL. I do not care what anybody's. Connor McDavid is probably the most fun to watch on a nightly basis, but Sidney Crosby still is the best player in the NHL.
Without a doubt. We saw it in the games against the Rangers. He's easily the best player, and he's playing at such a crazy level now. He looks like he's playing at the level he should have been at like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But all of the injuries and concussions kind of sapped him of that.
And for as good as Connor McDavid is for the NHL, I think he was that much better for Sidney Crosby's career, because I think he pushed Sid a little bit. You know, for once in his life, Sidney Crosby wasn't the talk of the NHL. Until, you know, he went out, he won a Stanley Cup. He absolutely dominated the World Cup of Hockey. He missed, 2 weeks to start this season with a concussion? Yeah. And he's still leading the NHL in goals.
And Patrick Laine is awesome.
He's awesome.
He is so much fun to watch.
I could watch
him
shoot the puck all day. He's great.
It's fun to watch these young kids come into the league, guns a-blazing, then get adjusted to, and then Austin Matthews, 3-4 points a week ago against the Devils, how they readjust and just reestablish their dominance and become better players in such quick fashion is just a joy to watch.
Austin Matthews seems to be one of those guys who scores in bunches. We'll see if he can find some consistency. Fellas, great show. See how the Rangers overcome some adversity. We'll talk about it next week. How's that sound?
Can't wait.
Thanks again to Don LaGreca. Thanks again for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.